you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning on a message I've titled, Just Preach Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15. When you get there, if you're able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Father God, thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Thank You for the good singing we've had, God, the good songs, the choir, the special singing. Lord, we now ask You to help us in this message. Lord, that You'll be glorified. Lord, stir our hearts. God, do a mighty work within us. And may we leave away from this service with our eyes fixated on Jesus. In His precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Me and one of my pastor friends, I guess everybody calls him my best friend. I guess he is, except Jesus, my wife. But one of my pastor friends and myself, we went to a revival service this past week. I've been looking forward to it for quite some time. We had it in plans. Neither one of us had heard the evangelist that was preaching before. I had heard some good things about him, so I was excited about it. I prayed about it all week. I prayed about it all that day. I didn't even go home from work that day. I went straight to the church because it wasn't very far from where I work. And so I spent that time in the meantime praying for the revival service. Well, we get there and the building was practically full. The church was about half this size, but about every single seat was filled. Lots of people there. In the congregation during that service, there was at least two youth groups there. One group was a very large group from another church that came to sing special. There was probably 25 to 30 kids in that singing group, those youth, and they did a marvelous job. They got up and they sang the precious songs of Zion, sang about Jesus, sung that song, I'm Not Going to Hell. It was good, good singing. I was excited about it. And boy, the time leading up to the preaching, the waters of my heart was getting stirred. And like I said, there was a lot of youth there. I believe it was youth night, but nobody told me. But there was a lot of kids there, a lot of teenagers, young adults and such. And so I was so excited about the message that was going to be preached. And I was waiting intently to hear it preached. So the evangelist got up behind the pulpit and he started out and he gave a text and started talking and talking and talking. And talking, and talking, and talking, and talking, and me, myself, and I, and talk! And for an hour and 15 minutes, I heard an evangelist stand and talk about himself. Now, he brought out some good things. He brought out some people in the Bible. He talked about some people. He read a few verses here and yon. He did say a few good things throughout that hour and 15 minutes. But in that hour and 15 minutes, what I heard was me. What I heard was what I've done. What I heard was how I did this thing and I did that and how you need to do what I did. Me, everything was about this man. And I can tell you all about this guy now. First time I'd ever met him, but I can tell you all about him. I can tell you where he's born. I can tell you what his daddy's name was, where he grew up at. I can tell you everything, where he went to Bible college. I can tell you it all about that man. But I couldn't tell you anything about Jesus that he told me. Nothing. And then, for 30 minutes, we endured an invitation period. where this same evangelist said three or four times during the 30 minutes, I'm not one to manipulate the invitation. I heard that at least four times out of this man's mouth in 30 minutes of providing an invitation to an hour and 15 minute sermon about himself. By the time I left there, friends, I'll tell you, this might have been sinful for me, but I was raging mad. I was mad. And listen, I believe it was a holy, righteous anger. My thought was upon the wasted opportunity of those 2 hours we sat there in that service with all those young people in that congregation. I know without a doubt there were some of them there that had to be lost. The wasted opportunity in 2 hours where the name of Jesus was not exalted, was not lifted up, where nobody lifted up the name. The gospel was not even preached. There was no message about the blood of Christ in shedding for the sins of those that were lost. There was no message like that at all. Instead, the message, as the evangelist explained at the end of it, was probably for a future time. That's what he said at the end after the invitations were all over. This was probably not for tonight, but for a future time. So that when they get into the mess that I was talking about, they'll remember what I said about myself. Well, listen, that man will have to stand before Jesus and answer for his preaching, the same as I will have to stand before Jesus and answer for my preaching. I want you to know God holds the man of God that brings the Word of God up to another level of judgment on what we say. All right? That's the truth. That's from God's Word. We will have to answer for what we've said. But I kept thinking, what a wasted opportunity. He had a captive audience, and those were good kids. They were listening. Boy, there wasn't any messing around, mucking around. There wasn't anybody not paying attention. They were all listening. But they wasn't hearing about Jesus. And my heart was broken. And all I could think about the whole time was, just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. That's all you've got to do. Let's not hear about you. Let's hear about Jesus. Here in our opening text, the human penman, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Now, I've preached and taught on Paul so much, you're all probably sick of it by now. But listen, Paul was trying to help this church more than any other church that he wrote to, and he wrote many church epistles. He was writing to this church more than any other church he spent time on. In fact, his letter to the First Corinthians, that letter to the church at Corinth, is the longest of Paul's letters. All of Paul's letters is the longest. 9,489 words were written in the first epistle here to the Corinthians. The second book of Corinthians that were written here, Paul's other letter, there were 6,092 words. You combine all of Paul's teaching and writing to the Corinthians, you come up with 15,581 words. Now, I had to get two mathematicians to help me on this, but out of all Paul's writings, he spent a third of his writings on this church of Corinth. Now, why do you think that was, why he had to do that? This church was known as a carnal church. This church was a young church. It was a growing church. It was a huge church. They were doing some good things, but they still were trying to get themselves out of the world that God saved them from, that sin, that hell that He had brought them out of. And Paul was trying to help them with it to get them back, get them into the glories of Christ and live in the way they should. So he spent a whole lot of time writing to them. Now, as for preaching Jesus, Paul mentions the name of Jesus 235 times and the name Christ or his office as Christ 419 times. Combined, that's 654 mentions of the Lord Jesus Christ from Paul. Now, if there's anybody that could have got up and said, listen, what I did, listen about all the stuff I've done, it would have been Paul. Paul had a captive audience here. These church at Corinth were hungry to get letters from Paul and see what he had to say. He could have spent his whole time talking about all the things that he'd done. What did he do? He spent his time talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about Jesus. In fact, Paul declared this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see that? Just simple as that. Paul come over to this place he'd never been before to preach the gospel to them. What did he say? He said, I didn't come over here with excellency of speech. I didn't come over here so you could hear how good I could talk or how smart I am or how much I learned back in Pharisee school. I didn't come to do that. You know what? I didn't want to know anything about you. I just want to come and tell you about Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. If you look back in our text there in 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved." You see, what Paul did right here in the beginning of these verses, he's laying out the bare-bone truths of salvation. This is a skeleton, if you will. You know, a skeleton, it's comprised of all the bones. Well, that song used to be, the head bones connected to the neck bone, all that stuff. Well, Paul's connecting all this skeleton to the gospel. And you notice what he's told him? He said the gospel was first preached unto them. How do people hear about Jesus? They hear it from the preached word of God. Now, it may be from a man standing behind a pulpit. He may be on a street corner. They may read it from the word of God itself. That's a preaching from God's word. They may read it from a Bible tract. That's the preached word of God right there in a tract. But however it is, they have to hear the word of God preached first before they can trust the Lord Jesus. And so the first step, Paul said, the gospel was preached unto you. And then he says, they received the gospel. You see, when you trust Jesus, you know what you do? You receive Him as your Savior. That's what you do. It's a gift that's given to you from God. It's the gift of salvation. What do you have to do? You have to receive it. You receive a gift. You don't. We say the word trust Jesus, and that's fine to say that. But listen, you don't trust getting a gift. You receive that gift. So we're receiving Jesus as our Savior is what we're doing. So Paul said the gospel was preached unto you. You received it, and what was it? Who did he say? He said you were saved by the gospel, which you were also, you are saved. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're saved, you were saved just exactly the same way the Corinthians were saved. You heard the gospel, you received it, and He saved you. Period. That's all it took. And so the gospel never changes. Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus was so important to Paul, he made this statement to him in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." You see what he said there? He said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." In other words, I'm not getting up here to preach and glory in myself. I've got nothing to glory in. It's nothing about me. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he pronounced a woe on himself. Do you remember Jesus pronouncing the woe on the Pharisees and the scribes? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you. Over and over and over, all those woes. Paul's doing the same thing. He's woeing a curse upon himself if he don't preach the gospel. In other words, Paul's saying, if I don't preach the gospel, if I neglect my duty, if I shun my calling, if I preach about myself and I don't preach about the gospel of Jesus, may God pour out His holy divine wrath upon me and curse me for that. That's what he's saying. Listen, friends, that same truth ought to be in every man of God's mind today. If we get up and we stand and we don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, may a woe be placed upon us. May a curse be placed upon us. And may we sit down and shut up and stop preaching if we can't preach the gospel. Hey, I'm telling you now, friends, there's a lot of things that men can preach about. Listen, but an evangelistic message without preaching Jesus Christ is not an evangelistic message. If there's no evangelism in the message, which is telling people about the gospel and them getting saved, if there's none of that there involved, it's not an evangelistic message. It's not a sermon sent from God to tell them about Jesus. And so, listen, people preach a lot of stuff. You may have noticed the quote in your bulletin there this morning that I gave you from the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. If there was anybody that was qualified to criticize a sermon, it was Charles Spurgeon. Still to this day, if this has not changed, and I don't believe it has. I don't believe Joel Osteen's outdone him yet. To this day, Charles Spurgeon has written more religious books than anybody in history, except for the Lord, of course. But Charles Spurgeon, the man, the Prince of Preachers back in the 1800s over in England, he has written more religious articles. But he also preached to thousands. He saw thousands get saved under the ministry that he had there in England. But that quote I have in your bulletin there, it's not the full quote. This is what he said. He said, "The motto of all true servants of God must be, we preach Christ and Him crucified. A sermon without Christ in it is like a loaf of bread without any flour in it. No Christ in your sermon, sir? Then go home and never preach again until you have something worth preaching." In other words, preach Christ or go home. That's what Spurgeon said. Another time Spurgeon said this. He said, leave Christ out? Oh, my brethren, better leave the pulpit altogether. If a man can preach one sermon without mentioning Christ's name in it, it ought to be his last. Certainly the last that any Christian ought to go and hear him preach. Listen, friends, if Charles Spurgeon knew the shape of today's pulpits are in today, he would roll over in his grave. Listen, friends, I want you to know the sad, sorry state of the average pulpit today, how it must sicken the Lord Jesus Christ to hear such things being preached today. And it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a weak, apathetic, man-centered, self-centered, world-tainted, social gospel preaching of today, and how it must invoke the anger and wrath of the Holy God. Listen, they're not, men are not preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Leave Christ out of your sermon? Leave Jesus out of your sermon? What have you got left? Nothing. You got nothing. The old evangelist, Vance Havner, he once said this. He said, if they had a social gospel in the days of the prodigal son, somebody would have given him a bed and a sandwich, and he never would have gone home. Isn't that the truth right there, friends? Hey, that's a stinging rebuke to today's churches. Hey, it's all about the social gospel, you know? And listen, friends, it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Back in our text there in 1 Corinthians, Paul laid out the gospel message. Look at it. Verse 3 in 1 Corinthians there in our text. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. That's the first step. And that he was buried. That's the second step. And that he rose again the third day, according to Scripture, the third step. You see, people like to hear those messages about steps. You know, seven steps to this and five steps to this. Here's a three-step message for you, okay? Jesus, he came here. Friends, and I want you to know that according to the Scripture, he died for our sins. He was buried in the ground, and he arose again on the third day. There's your three steps. All right? If you like steps, there they are. If anybody ever asks you what the gospel is, all you got to do is point them right here to the Word of God and say right there, Paul said it was. He said Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. That is the good news. That's what the gospel means. Why do we have to have good news? Because there's bad news, friends. Bad news is, what the Bible say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news, friends. Because, listen, without Jesus, you're bound for hell. And listen, the gospel is the good news. You don't have to die and go to hell. Good news! Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. So you don't have to go to hell and pay your sin debt, because he paid it for you. Bad news is, you're going to hell if you don't trust him and receive him as your Savior. Listen, everything in the Word of God is good. Everything in the Word of God is important, it's true, and it's profitable. And everything in this is good. Every word in the Bible. I'm not going to discount any of it and make any of it weak or anything like that. But you listen to me and you listen to me well. If you leave Jesus out of it, it's all for nothing. It means nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is, people don't want to hear the gospel preached anymore. Some people do, but most don't. We have become a self-centered, self-absorbed world. I mean, everything that people think about today is about themselves. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this? What can that church do for me? What can the church offer me? What can the church give my kids? How can I do this and do that? It's all about me. I've told you before, this lady that came one time, she visited, and there was a little, we had a visitor's card, and on the back it said, would you like to receive more information about the church? And it was marked yes. And so I contacted her, and she sent me a whole list of things that she was curious about. And every single one of them were things about her, about what she could get here and do that, and get from this, and what we offer in that. There was nothing in it at all that said, is there a place for me to serve? Is there a place, something that I can do in the church? It was all, what can you do for me? And you see, that's what's happened today. We're a consumer-driven church today. And so you have these people are out with their little shopping list, trying to find every little whim and fancy and fashion that they want, everything that they so desire. They go around looking for a church, and they're going to find it. They're going to find it because there'll be men that will stand up and call themselves a pastor, and they will bend and conform to everything the world wants so they can get the world into the church. And that's all they're concerned about. They're not concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you can get up and preach, And you know, people nowadays, pastors have become motivational speakers, financial advisors. Everybody wants to know, how can I increase my finances? Listen, if I was to advertise in the paper that this church was going to offer a course in biblical, you know, financing or something like that, we'd probably fill the place up. People, I want to come and hear about that, about my finances. I'm concerned about that. But if I put a message out there that said, we're going to preach a message, tell you how your kids don't have to go to hell, they want a person to show up from that. Nobody but our church faithful will show up for that. Because they don't care. All they care about is thee, me, myself, and I. And then you have those that preach that are in love with the thought of being called a preacher. They like to be put up on a pedestal, upon some kind of high platform. Listen, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't want you to see me. If I could stand down here and hide from you and preach at the same time, I'd do it. But you probably wouldn't like that. But I don't want to be seen. I don't want you to exalt Brother Byron. I don't want anything to do with that. What I want you to do, when you leave this service today, I don't want you to think, oh, Brother Byron got a new haircut. That's all some people leave here thinking about, isn't it? I got a King James haircut last night. You see that? Mary's learning how to do the King James haircut. I got it going on now. Listen, don't let that be the thing that you leave here remembering. What I want you to leave here remembering is the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. How He came and He died for your sins. How He was buried and how He rose again on the third day. And He delivered the gospel to us so that we don't have to die. We don't have to go to hell and pay our sin debt because He paid it for us. That's what I want you to remember when you leave this service. How glorious that the Lord is. So men will get up. They want to be called a preacher. They want up on the pedestal. And they'll preach whatever they can just to draw a crowd. And most of them couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. And that's just the truth. Where's Jesus in their message? It's nowhere to be found. Why? Because they don't study the Word of God. So they get up and they give a little sermonette or whatever it takes, you know, to get through it and muddle through it. But there's no Jesus there. Mary and I was at a church service one time. I probably told you this before, but I believe it bears repeating. We were at a church service one time, and there was this man got up to preach. And let me show you what he did. This is what he did. I'm going to sit down, brother, if God don't give me something to preach. I'm going to sit down, brother, if God don't give me something to preach. I'm going to sit down, brother, if God don't give me something to preach. You know, there was men sitting on the pews going, amen, amen. You know what I was thinking the whole time? What in the world are you amen? This man ain't said a thing. All he has to do is open up the Word of God. And if he's got nothing else but John 3:16 and how Jesus saved him, declare it to the world. Just preach Jesus. That's all you got to do. Oh, he went through the whole gamut. He had the handkerchief, the hacking, and the walking around and doing the ear and everything. He had all the little patterns down. All the little things he's learned over the years from other people. Oh, if God don't give me something better, I'm going to sit down. If God don't give me something better, I'm going to sit down. And some people like that. Some people, all they want to see is some man get to blow up and blow the house down. They ain't no Jesus in that. If Jesus ain't in that message, I don't want to hear it. Now, if he's talking about Jesus while he's doing it, I'm fine with it. Hey, if he wants to come in and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll listen to it. He's saying something about Jesus. But don't you give me that stuff where they get up and huff and puff and blow the house down, and they ain't nothing behind it. Just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. The whole time that guy was up there, I don't know how long, it was 10, 15 minutes he stood up there doing all this stuff. And the whole time I was thinking, Betty, shut up and sit down and let somebody get up there that can preach. And people, you know, there's a guy got mad at me one time for saying that. He said, you ought not say that. You don't know what was on his heart. Apparently nothing. He didn't say nothing about Jesus. If he's a preacher of God, he needs to get up and speak about Jesus. Go ahead and get mad. Listen, dear friend, just preach Jesus or go home. If you can't do anything else, like I said, read John 3:16 about how God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who's His only begotten Son? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came here to save sinners. And by the way, like Paul said, of whom I am the chief. Listen, it's Jesus. All we got to do is preach Jesus. Why?
Jesus is the center of our attention. He's the object of our desires. He's the centerpiece of our beliefs. He is the only thing about our faith. He's the only reason we're here today. If you came for some other reasons except for Jesus, you came for the wrong reason. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. I don't care how pretty you look today or what kind of suit you're wearing, what kind of dress you got. You may have something brand new on. I'd never notice. You know, sometimes Mary would say, do you remember what I wore the other day? I couldn't tell you what you wore. I couldn't tell you what I wore. I don't even look at that. I don't have any idea. The only reason we come to church is because of Jesus. We're here because He's the only reason to preach. He's the only reason of salvation, the only means of it. He is the only one that can change our lives. He's the only one that can keep us out of hell. He's the one that heals our homes. He's the one that saves our children, saves our marriages, saves our relationships. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the end all be all. It's Jesus Christ. Listen, just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. That's all you got to do. Hey, I don't care about your theology and all that stuff. That's good for times of teaching. You can do that if you want to. We do that on Wednesday nights and Sunday schools. And sometimes I'll bring a message, a lot of theology in it. But if I start leaving Jesus out, you better get rid of me. Because it's about Him. Look on down there in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 12. We didn't read that this morning. But look what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15 and 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. You see what Paul's saying? He said, listen, if you're denying the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you deny that He came back from the dead, you're denying the very existence of the gospel. If it wasn't true, if Jesus did not do that, we don't have any hope. We have no faith. Your faith is in vain, he said. My preaching should be indicted because I've been lying to you if He didn't raise from the dead. But thank God that He did raise from the dead. He did do it. Our faith is not in vain. Look what he continued saying in verse 20. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen, the truth is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. He's not laying in no grave over there anywhere. You can't go over there and dig up His bones and find any DNA evidence of Christ, because there is none. Why? He rose up from the dead. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. You can go up there and get some DNA from Him, maybe. But you can't do it down here. He's not in the ground. He is risen. And since He's risen, our faith's not in vain. Our preaching's not in vain. The reason you came here today is not in vain. It's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. Listen, let me be clear as possible as I can this morning. I don't care how good you are. I don't care who your mom and daddy are. I don't care who your granny and papa are. I can get up here today and brag to you all about my family bloodline and everything in my past. If there's anybody that could say they got saved because they had family that were saved, it would be Brother Byron. And I could stand up here and brag and boast about all that. That didn't save me. Just because my grandfather used to pastor this church, just because people talk about him climbing in the windowsills on revivals, up tent poles and revivals and everything like that, and was one of the greatest preachers they ever heard in their life, I hear it every time I talk to somebody, and I praise God for that testimony that he has. He didn't save me. His past, his history, his salvation is not my salvation. My salvation is mine alone. And it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to believe. I had to receive the gospel. Somebody had to preach to me. All right, the preacher I was saved under was a more gentle preacher. He wasn't a hacker. He wasn't one that ran all over the place. He was very pronounced. He was my Uncle Adriel Hall, my great Uncle Adriel Hall. He was a very good preacher. Many of y'all heard him. I know Sister Hazel remembers him. But he would get up and preach. And let me tell you what he did that day. And I wasn't listening for it. I wasn't looking for it. And just like Paul, I said it in the Sunday school class this morning, on the road to Damascus, Paul was not seeking Jesus. He had no idea that Jesus was even going to be there. Didn't want him there. But Jesus was seeking him. Brother Byron wasn't seeking Jesus either when he got saved. But he was seeking me. And he found me. And he arrested me. And he put me into bondage toward him. Listen, friends, I heard the gospel preached. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I realized I was a lost sinner bound for hell. And I knew that Jesus was the only answer to my problem. And I received him as my Savior. Praise God for that this morning. But let me be clear. It's not about your works, your family, your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your cousins, your granny, your papa. It doesn't matter how many times you've read the Bible, how many times you've been in church, how much you put in offering plate. None of that matters a bit when it comes to your salvation. You must believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Hey, just preach Jesus. That's all it takes. He is the power of God unto salvation. It's the scriptures of Jesus, telling about Jesus. The Bible says over in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Stop. You know what that means? Death. It's talking about death in hell. Death in the lake of fire. A death, a place that you go in outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and where their worm dieth not, the Bible says. Everlasting destruction. You never do get annihilated. I mean, you're forever aware and awake and in pain and misery. It never goes away. And listen, you think, well, if it'll end in maybe, if it could end in maybe 3 years, or if it could end in 30 years, or even 100 years, if hell would live, just leave in 100 years and I'd get out, I'll endure it. I'll get through it. But it won't. After 100 years, there's another 100. And after that's another 100. And then another 100. And 1,000. And 1,000,000. And 1,000,000,000. It never ends. The suffering in hell never ends. But the glories of heaven never ends either. All the living in the splendors of the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God in His holiness, it never ends either. It goes on forever. Oh, listen, friends. The wages of sin is death. But the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means you. That means me. That means everybody who, don't matter who they are, how good they've been, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you have come short of the glory of God, you cannot go to heaven. You cannot get, you can't. Being short of the glory of God means that you've not been justified in front of Him. You must be justified. The only way to be justified is to have your sins forgiven. And the only way you can do that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, thank the Lord. Back in Romans 6:23, where we stopped at, we start back up and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? Because of what Jesus did, we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go and pay our sin debt. Hey, until you receive Jesus, your Savior, you're heavily indebted. I mean, and listen, hell is right after you too. You know how the bill collector comes to you when you get in debt and you can't pay your debt? The bill collector comes. You know what? That's what he keeps a list of these things. He's going to come and get you. Well, if you're lost today, you've never received Jesus, your Savior, there's a collector coming. And when the death angel comes, I want you to know, you'll be cast in the lake of fire. That's where those go that has not had their sin debt paid for. I'm thankful today that Jesus paid our sin debt. All it takes for us is to believe in the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. To believe in Him. The Bible says to believe in Jesus with all your heart. Thou shalt be saved. Everlasting salvation too. Not momentary. Not something just for a little while. But forever and ever and ever. As the ladies come this morning and get the invitation song, I want to ask you today for something. The invitation is in the church hymnal on page 107, I Must Tell Jesus. Now listen, you've been sitting here listening to this message, and I appreciate you sitting here and listening intently. I really do. But I don't want this message to end right here. I want it to continue. I want you to take this message and I want you to go outside these doors and tell other people about Jesus. Hey, just preach Jesus. That's all you got to do. Just the very name of Jesus spoken off your lips makes a change. The world today quivers and quakes at the name of Jesus. Satan does too. I want you to know that today.
Jesus defeated Satan. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And let me tell you today, He is your only means of salvation. Let's all stand together. Somebody lead this song, "I Must Tell Jesus," and let's pray. If you need help today, you come to this altar this morning. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to You today asking for Your help. Lord, we preach the message that You gave us. Lord, we can't do nothing else. Lord, we're relying upon You, God, through the Holy Spirit, to convict hearts. God, if there's one in this building today, Lord, that needs You. God, whether it be for salvation, backslidden condition, God, something going on in their life, God, that seems overwhelming, they're burdened down with, and can't take anymore. God, would You take it from them? God, may they lay these burdens down at Your feet. Lord, take off their heavy yokes and put them upon You, Lord, and take Yours upon them, Lord, which is much light, much easier. God, we know You love us. You told us You did. Lord, we know that You said it wasn't Your will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God, if there's one today that needs help, may they come to Jesus today. Help them, Father. Help us, Father. If you need help, you come down this altar.